Greetings again, beloved. I guess we summed the whole message. Christ. The Living Stone. Living Building Products, Part 2. We're going to read again from 1 Peter chapter 2. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be condemned or confounded. Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious. But unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Christ the living stone. Christ is the living stone through whom life flows to all. We mentioned earlier this morning that life flowed to the children of Israel from that rock that was smitten. That's a picture of Christ on the cross. Was smitten, that rock of ages that was cleft for you and me. That rock was smitten and out came water to sustain the life of God's people. We are told in the New Testament, the interpretation of that is that that rock that followed the children of Israel, that rock was Christ, and they drank from him, and he sustained them. That's the rock that produced water. The Lord Jesus spoke to that woman at Sychar's well about living water. Now, Christ as the stone, beloved, is revealed to us in a threefold way, which we're going to look at in this session. First of all, he is revealed as to Israel, he is the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, according to verse 8. To the church, Christ is the foundation stone. And to the Gentile world powers, Christ is going to be that smiting stone. That's in prophecy, that's in the Bible, and that's when Christ comes back to set up his kingdom. And he's going to put down all rule and all authority. And he's going to bring an end to a Gentile world dominion. Let's look at Christ as the stone of stumbling to the children of Israel. You know, they wanted a strong man. They wanted a military leader. They wanted one to deliver them from the Romans because they were in bondage to the Romans. And so often they would ask him concerning his kingdom. Is it time? Is it time to set up the kingdom? Even the disciples. And Israel couldn't get over the fact that he came in humility. He came as the servant. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. They challenged his genealogy. They say, well, he can't be the Messiah because he was Joseph's son. They say, we know his mother. They challenged his geography. They said he came from Nazareth, when the Bible clearly states that he was born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. They found ways to reject him. Finally, they said to Pilate, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. He became a stumbling block to his people, Israel. They couldn't get over. They, even though he had done so many things that was in fulfillment of the prophetic word, they still did not accept him. He said, if I have done all these things before you, why do you not believe? I have done things that no other person has done before you, but they will not accept him. You know, the Lord Jesus, to the Jews and also to the Greeks, the Jews stumbled over him because of unbelief. They couldn't believe that lowly Nazarene could be their Messiah. And the Greeks, they said, that gospel you're preaching concerning a man who was crucified, that's foolishness. He can't be our Savior. And so they continue to stumble over Christ. There are those who believe, but there are those who continue to stumble. And that's what's written in the prophecy of Isaiah, and I want to read it for you, and if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 8, it prophesied concerning Christ's coming and how they would stumble over him, but he would be a sanctuary as well, a sanctuary to those who believe. In chapter 8 of Isaiah's prophecy, verse 14 says, he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, all Israel, Israel and Judah, for a trap and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They continue to stumble over him. They won't believe. They want to trust him. Because he didn't come here and he didn't immediately set up a kingdom and deliver them from the bondage of the Romans. So they stumble over him, a rock of offense. But earlier in the scriptures, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the stone of Israel. In Genesis chapter 49, and that's the first mention, he is mentioned as the stone of Israel. Even though they would stumble over him, he is still the stone of Israel. And in verse 24 it says, but his bow, referring to Joseph in his trials in Egypt and with his brethren, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That's our Lord, the living stone. And there is the shepherd the stone of Israel. So to the Jews, they stumbled over him. They continued to reject him. Look at what it says in Romans, speaking of the rejection of the children of Israel. Romans in chapter 9, verse 31 says, "But Israel, God's people, who followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled," here it is, "they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." That's what we have also here in the New Testament. "I lay in Zion a stumbling stone." There were those who observed the life of the Lord Jesus. There are those who followed him and saw his good works. And they were in between. They weren't sure. And one day they asked him, the Jews that is, "Please tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God?" And he told them, because he cannot deny himself. He told him many things, and he told them exactly what they didn't want to hear, that "I and my Father are one." And they took up stones to stone him. And Jesus said to them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" They said, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou being a man," they're stumbling over him, "thou being a man, makest thyself God." You see, Israel in unbelief, they did not accept the Messiah. "You being a man, make yourself God." But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he was God who became a man. John tells us we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Revealed as the stumbling stone to Israel, that living stone. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 23 says, "We preach Christ crucified." That's the gospel we preach. "Unto the Jews, a stumbling block." They would not bow, they would not accept. "Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Gentiles, foolishness." He can't save. He couldn't even save himself. He can't save us. Look at how he died. "But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, those who are saved by grace, who have bowed to the claims of this living stone, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Christ, the living stone, and Israel stumbled over him. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. They were not appointed to be disobedient, but they're appointed just because of their willful disobedience and unbelief. Christ is also revealed as the foundation stone of the church. The stumbling stone to Israel, the foundation stone of the church. Verse 5. Ye also as living stones, that's the believers that build, that comprise of this building, this new building, this living building. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, the church, and an holy priesthood, those believers in the church. We talked about this earlier, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's our purpose. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Christ to the church is the foundation. Now we're going to go to a scripture that we know very well. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But we're going to Matthew's gospel. Probably some of you are waiting for us to get there. To the church, Christ is the foundation stone. The stone on which the church is built. These living stones, you and I, comprise the building materials for this mystic building. The Lord Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. Verse 13 of chapter 16 of Matthew. And when Jesus came into the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah," or son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Some have built a doctrine on this and said the church was built on Peter, the rock. Now let's look at it very carefully. In the Greek, there's a play on words here. Thou art Peter, meaning Petros, a stone, a movable stone. That's what Peter was. Upon this rock, Petra, a massive rock, I will build my church. If you've gone to the Middle East and went to Israel and Jordan and those places, there's a city, an ancient city, in the home, the ancient home of Esau. And there is a city that's carved out of the rock. The place is called Petra. It is a massive walled city. That's the word the Lord is using. Petra, a great, a massive rock. Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. The church was not built or not being built on Peter. And Peter tells us that. It was Peter who says that Christ is the chief cornerstone. Peter tells us that Christ is the foundation stone. Peter himself. It wasn't built on Petros, but rather on Petra, a massive rock. And Peter confessed Jesus Christ as the living stone. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is upon this rock that the church is built, on Christ. On Christ salvation rests secured, we sang. The rock of ages must endure. Peter testifies, Christ is that rock. Peter himself, read 1 Peter chapter 2. He is the living stone. He is the cornerstone. He is the precious stone. He is the foundation stone. Not only did Peter confess that, but Paul the apostle as well confessed that Jesus is the foundation stone upon which the church is built. Listen to the testimony of Paul the apostle concerning Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth upon it. But let every one, or every man, take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation stone. No question about it. Peter says, I'm not the stone. I'm not the rock on which the church is built. Christ is. He tells us that in very clear language. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians speaks so much of the church. But in chapter 2, it tells us in verse 19, now therefore we are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, that building we're talking about, this new building, the church, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. These are the living building products right here. You and I are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. He lives within us. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, he spoke many parables. They all had meaning. He never spoke an idle word. And he told a story. He told of two builders who laid different foundations. One built on a rock. If you want that reference, is Matthew chapter 7. One built on a rock, and the other built on the sand. I hope, I know you know that. I know that from the time I was in Sunday school. You know, we used to sing, the wise man built his house upon a rock. That's what I'm talking about. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I don't know what we're building on. Are we building on Peter? Are we building on religion? Are we building on human government? Are we building our house on socialism, our social issues? Are we building on Wall Street, for instance? It's crumbling. It's crumbling right before our eyes. Everything that's built, except it's built on Christ, will fall. But if we build on Christ, the solid rock, the winds would come, the waters will rise, attacks will come from the evil one, but the house on the rock will stand firm. So the little chorus says, then build on the rock and not upon the sand. For you need not fear the storm or the earthquake shock. You are safe forevermore if you build on the rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. To Israel, a stumbling block. To the church, the foundation stone, the living stone. You see, we are living stones, and we are built upon that living foundation, which is Christ, the solid rock. But there's another aspect of this stone we've been talking about, this living stone. And even though we don't have it particularly in 1 Peter, in other places, this stone is referred to as the stone that's coming in judgment. This living stone is coming in judgment. The Lord Jesus spoke of that stone, for instance, in Matthew chapter 21. He spoke of that stone. I'm going to read what he says. Verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits of it. You see, Israel didn't have any particular claim on the kingdom of God. If they did not believe, then they would perish as well. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. And that's what we do when we come in repentance. We fall on the stone and let him break us and mold us and make us his own. Whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. This stone. What stone? The stone that Daniel spoke about in his prophecy. Daniel tells us that there's going to be a stone that will be cut out without hands. The stone of judgment. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 34 says, "Thou sawest until a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then were the iron and the clay and the bronze, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." When you read about a mountain, that's a kingdom. That's the language used for a kingdom. And that it's speaking of the Lord Jesus. When he comes back to earth to set up his kingdom, he's not going to set up his kingdom next to any other kingdom. He's going to destroy. He's going to bring an end to Gentile world dominion. You're speaking of the times of the Gentiles. And he's coming back to bring an end to Gentile world dominion. Now, everything mentioned here, and we don't have time to go into Daniel's prophecy because it's very involved, but all the world powers are mentioned here in this prophecy, and they're going to be brought to an end. Gentile world dominion began with Nebuchadnezzar when he captured Judah and took them into captivity. That's when Gentile world dominion continued, and it continues to this day. To this day, Jerusalem is being trodden down by the Gentiles. And then after that, we had Media Persia, and after Media Persia, we had the Greco world power, the Greece, and then after that we had the Roman Empire. Those are the four world powers. And there's not any today. But if you ask some scholars, they'll tell you that there's going to be a revival of the Roman Empire. And that's the kingdom that the Lord is going to bring down and bring an end to Gentile world dominion. This stone that will be cut out without hands is going to crush the Gentile world powers and bring an end. And then the Lord Jesus himself is going to set up his kingdom here on this earth. It says it's going to be a mountain. Mountain meaning a kingdom. Verse 44 of Daniel chapter 2 tells us, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." That's the Lord's kingdom. "And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." That's our Lord's kingdom. He's going to set up his kingdom here on earth, his millennial kingdom, and he's going to reign over the earth. But only his kingdom will be there, because the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. He shall reign. Those who fall on him shall be broken. But on whomsoever this stone shall fall, it will grind them to powder. Gentile world dominion is coming to an end. The Lord Jesus, the living stone, is going to reign. And he alone is going to reign. He's going to reign over the earth. There will be no competing powers on earth with him. He alone shall be Lord. He shall be in charge of all the regions, every facet of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. For the Lord himself shall reign and reign forever and ever. That stone, you can fall on that stone and be broken. But if that stone falls on you, it will grind you to powder. Gentile world dominion will come to an end. According to Luke chapter 21, I want to read that. We run out of time here, but I want to read that. Verse 24 says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles." That's happening even now. "Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Until the end of Gentile world dominion. We have the times of the Gentiles, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar and continuing on to this day. When the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to bring an end to that. I just want to read you what it says in Revelation. It's important that we know what's in God's program. That stone is going to be ruling. In Revelation 16 and verse 19 it says, "And the great city was divided in three parts. And the cities of the nations fell." Cities of the nations, Gentile world dominion, fell. "And great Babylon, it says Babylon here, but it's probably referring to the revived Roman Empire. Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Just to recap, Christ the stone, Israel stumbled over him. The church is built upon him. And Gentile world dominion will be crushed by him. Coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Other foundations we disown and build on Christ, the living stone. God bless his word. It's good to be with you, beloved. Thanks for having us. Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the living stone, disallowed of men but chosen of God and precious. rejected, but one day he will become the chief of the corner for that nation. We thank thee, Father, that he is the one that all thy plans, in whom all thy plans are fixed, the one who will accomplish all that thou hast spoken of in thy word. He is precious because there is no value that can be placed on him. He's inestimable. He's chosen, preferred in God's person. In some circles, he is still rejected. Men still stumble over him, and they stumble over him on their way to hell. But there's still time for them to fall on him and be broken, lest he fall on them, grind them to powder. We just commit all these things into your loving hand. Thank you for what thou hast taught us. We know there's so much more that we can learn from him and from this subject of the living stone. We thank thee for the limited view that we have and for what we have been taught by the Spirit of God, and we ask thy blessing upon thy word to our hearts. Strengthen us, encourage us, help us to get into deeper study as we think of him, the stumbling stone for some, the foundation stone for the church, and that smiting stone to the Gentile world dominion. We ask thy blessing now as we part the one from the other, take us to our respective homes, peace and in safety. Be with us and guide us, and glorify thyself in us. We humbly pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.